Bender City Planning Board meeting, July 24th, 2023.
Aye.
Stop.
Yeah.
At the top.
Really. Welcome, everyone, this evening to the Bender City Planning Board session of July 24th, 2023. It's to earmark that date for future. At this time, this meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board here in the municipal building. At this time, we will rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the Board Administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Landgraf?
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Jessica Stilley?
Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin, Lorraine Salata, Greer Gaskell, and Wendy Bartlett.
Thank you. At this time, we have adoption of the minutes of the July 12th meeting. Are there any corrections or amendments to said minutes? Hearing none, or seeing no request, may I have a motion and a second for adoption of these minutes?
Motion.
Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes carry it.
Abstain.
And one abstention. Three abstentions, okay. That point. But nevertheless, the resolution, they are adopted. This evening, we have three resolutions for adoption. We'll adopt them all at one time. They are P27 of 2023, 316 Oxford Avenue, P28, 2023, 25 Newark Avenue, and P29, 2023, of 7114 Bettner Avenue. Are there any corrections or amendments to said resolutions? Again, hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay, you've got second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes carry. One abstention.
Three abstentions.
We still have a quorum on that, so they are adopted this evening. This evening, we have three cases to be heard this evening, applications, I should say. The first of those is 120 North Sacramento Avenue. Mr. Abbott, are you representing?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward, be sworn.
Board members, I have with me tonight one of the administrator, his brother, Gladys's Basins. It's been in their family since 1979, the property. And we're here tonight to give testimony to request certificate of land use, certificate of non-conformity, whatever it is that you feel is appropriate to make sure this two-unit building is legalized. It's an old structure. It's on an oversized lot, 60 by 60.
Mr. Abbott,
what's that?
Your witness must be sworn in.
Want to swear him in first?
Yes,
okay. We have to swear you in.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have to be sworn in because I'm a lawyer. That lawyer's never lied.
Just your name?
Dennis Basins.
I'm glad you're smiling.
And Mr. Basins, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
You might as well get Roger.
You get Roger. Roger, please.
Karn, you swear from the testimony you'll give throughout this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
To make this pretty easy for you to follow, if you go towards past the printed form of the application, you'll see that addendum to the application for certificate of non-conformity. That makes it really easy for you to follow. We try to lay it out. It's a 60 by 62 and a half foot lot with 3,750 square feet. I believe the ordinance that's applicable, I've cited here, is 102-61. Two family dwellings existing at the time this chapter is amended. Your family has owned it since 1979.
That's correct.
And you've utilized it as a duplex all the way through.
Correct.
And it's a two-story, one up, one down?
Correct.
Units. Okay. And we've obtained the property records from the city tax assessor's office. You can see in 1974, it states that it's a two-family dwelling. Most currently, 23, it's a two-family dwelling. We had certificates of occupancy, 1991 for first-floor tenant, occupancy first-floor tenant in 94. By the way, when we go through your records, when I go through them, there's a lot more, but I don't give you, you know, all the sheets.
Right.
I give you something that's illustrated so you can see that the city has long recognized this particular property as a duplex. I gave you photographs. You can see two gas meters, two electric meters, two entrances. He does have a garage there as well. There is some parking on site. Based on the evidence that we have, primarily documentary obtained from the city, we would ask that you issue, if you feel it's appropriate, a certificate of nonconformity. And by the way, if you want to know what's going on here, your real estate market in Ventnor is still pretty hot. And what's happening now, your building department's telling people, look, when you come in to transfer a title, go in front of the board and get that certificate of land use or approval for a certificate of nonconformity. See, for many years, the policy was in Ventnor, they'll let you rent it, they'll give you the rental license for 2 units. But for you to actually get that document that says it's a legal two-unit building, we have to go through a public hearing process. I guess some of you know this. It's a result of a lawsuit. Chelsea Neighborhood Association sued, actually it was Atlantic City back in the 90s, but the court ruling was applicable to all the communities that were doing this with certificates. They used to do it administratively. They would just, you know, oh yeah, here are our records, it's a duplex, boom, and have it. Neighborhood Association, some of you I'm sure are aware of this, sued to say, no, there's gotta be a public hearing. And as a result, Ventnor went through that process as well, Atlantic City. And that's why we're here tonight. You still have a red hot real estate market. People want to have this issue legitimized. And I think what you're seeing, Mayor could probably tell you, or your commissioner, I think you're seeing a lot of people now tear these buildings down and build new ones. So it's helping investment in these areas that, you know, 20 years ago was kind of a shaky neighborhood, but certainly not anymore.
Mr. Abbott.
All good.
Mr. Abbott, could you enlighten the board as to the test date that you're trying to make?
Well, I think that's the ordinance of 97. Two-family dwelling existing at the time this chapter is amended. I suspect that's it.
Okay. When was it amended? And
97.
And what was the zoning then?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question. We were R7. They passed a zoning section 10261, permitted uses.
Right.
And there it says, under subparagraph 3, as of August 28, 1997, anything that was existing at the time the chapter was amended, that's when it was amended, 97. Leo's probably
And the documentation you provided shows that it was prior to 1979, and since 97, it's been a duplex.
Yeah, your property records of 74 show it as two.
Right.
We traced it back, and I can see it on some old pictures and atlases. This house was built in the 20s.
Give us the test date.
That's how far it goes back. And if you look at it, it's two entrances. It looks like it was built originally that way.
When's the latest property record card that you had a date on?
My latest one here is, currently, property record cards this year, April 26th, indicating two units.
Okay.
In our R7 now, it's a little confusing, but if you're in the R7 and you have a duplex and you get this certificate of nonconformity, you can demolish it and rebuild it subject to, you know, certain requirements.
So. What's your intent? You know,
well, we wanted to reestablish the fact that it was a legal duplex. The property's in poor condition, and before we invested money into either repairing it or possibly replacing it to get the legality squared away.
And you're the owner, you and your brother?
The property's still in the estate. But me and my brother are the only two recipients.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Board members, any questions, comments?
Do you plan on keeping it?
Yes. Yeah, we've owned it for over 43 years already, and we have no intentions of selling it.
Not that it matters.
I understand.
That's going to be a nice block in the city. It's going to continue to be a nice block. I've walked that block many times, looking at all the joints. Walking at that, looking at all the joints. In fact, several blocks of Sacramento Avenue, and there's a lot of potential there.
Yes.
A lot of potential.
I'd like to agree down.
So you're making a wise choice.
Thank you, Alex. Okay.
So at this time, do you have anything further to add, Mr. Abbott?
No, that's it.
You are complete?
Scott, there's a full kitchen in each unit? I don't see it on the...
Here, you... Full kitchen, yes.
Yes, both units.
Do we have a floor plan of each unit?
Whatever is a part of your property record, we did not give you a separate architectural plan for this building.
It's in there, though.
You want photos that you signed?
It is in there as a part of your property record. It's the one with the check.
Right.
74.
Okay.
So you do have somewhat of a floor plan from your property records.
So they're both two-bedroom, one-bathroom, and one-kitchen units.
Thank you.
You got it.
All right. Is there anyone in the public who would like to make comment on this application? Hearing no request, seeing no request, the public portion of this application is now closed. Of course, Mr. Abbott, you have comments or rebuttal for that, don't you? Okay. And now again, you are complete.
Yes.
Thank you. At this time, board members, do you have any questions of our professionals or the applicant? And Leo, at this time, could you please raise a motion in the affirmative as all are done for this particular application for a vote?
Yes, we'll need a motion and a second to grant a certificate of nonconformity establishing the two-unit, the legality of the two-unit structure on the property that's existed prior to 1997 and has continued to the present without being abandoned.
May I have a motion and a second?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? Have a roll call vote, and please state your reasons.
Mayor Landgraf?
I met the criteria for a certificate of nonconformity. It showed continued two-unit use from 74 through 2023. So I vote yes.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I vote yes as well. I agree with the reasons stated.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes. There's reliance on the city records, and there is follow-through. No attempt to abandon. So yes, I will vote for the test date, and that it qualifies as a certificate of nonconformity for a two-family dwelling.
Roman Zabihech?
I also vote yes. The records clearly show it's a two-family, so yes.
Dan Smith III?
I also vote in favor of the application. It's clearly stated that it's a two-family dwelling. Physically, when you go to look at it, you can see that it was older and built, no changes. So I'm in favor.
Mike Wiesen?
I'm also going to vote in favor. And the reason I asked the question if you're keeping it is because it's after all this time of having it, it'd be nice legacy to continue the continued ownership.
Peter Taka.
I think the applicant has sufficiently demonstrated it's been a duplex for its entirety, so I vote in favor.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor. I think all the criteria have been met.
Jessica Stilley.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. It's clear that it's evident that it's always been pretty much a two-story, and property record is indicating such for the test here.
Jay.
Yes, approved. You're approved, Mr. Basins.
Good job, Mr. Abbott.
Thank you for remaining a stakeholder in our city, and welcome back a second time or a continuous time.
Third time.
Okay, third time. Good.
Thank you very much.
Next application is that of Jason and Lee Wolf, 100 South Portland Avenue. Let's have people sworn in.
Thank
and
you,
then
Mr. Chairman.
Before we have, and then before, we'll have some discussion before we start the application.
Of course. Jason and Joe, they're going to swear you in real quickly, Mr. Manos.
Okay, it's, Mr. Slayton, right? Just your name and address for the record.
20 Lawrence Avenue, Barrington, New Jersey.
And it's Joe Slayton?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, sir?
Jason Wolf, I'm a veteran address or apartment?
You're the property owner.
I'm South Avenue, veteran.
Okay, if you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Mr. Slayton, are you an architect by?
Yes.
Are you licensed in the state of New Jersey?
Registered, 1993.
So we'll let the record reflect, I think you've appeared before this board before, if I'm not mistaken.
And I've actually appeared before you guys before.
Yes, so let the record reflect, your credentials are acceptable. Now, we have some, Roger, do you want to go into some of the questions when they have on this application?
Yes, we, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
No.
The, if, are you proceeding with your rear yard setback variance?
Yeah, I think Mr. Slayton can explain that, and as we go through, to the extent the board has questions or if there's an issue, hopefully we can address it, but if for some reason we can't, we can have a discussion, but I think we are prepared and would like to go forward tonight.
So you're going through with the plan with no amendments to your plan?
We're going to get into that a little bit very quickly.
Okay.
And I think, again, some of this might need to be explained based upon the location, based upon the curb cut, etc.
Comfortable with that?
Sure.
Okay. Then please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicants. As you're aware, with me tonight is Mr. Slayton. We have a copy of Mr. McLaren's report. Wish to thank him for that. And to the extent you would like us to go forward now, if you want to do a preamble, we'll do whatever the board's pleasure would be in that regard.
We're going to do a preamble.
Sure.
We're going to do a preamble right now, and then you'll go to a full
press. Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members. The report is based on the application of Alan and Paula, Mr. Wolf. Wasn't changed. 100 South Portland Avenue, Block 26, Lot 7, located in the R3 Single Families District. It's located in a preliminary zone, AE10, and an X zone. Deemed complete, substantial benefit variance, materials reviewed on bottom of page 1, continued on page 2. Along with the plans. There were two plans reviewed. One was a plot plan and floor plans by Mark Zawacki and a survey provided by James Bonney. The project is described as follows. The applicant proposes to construct a third floor deck that does not meet the city's zoning requirements. The proposed house is replacing an existing non-FEMA compliant structure within the beach block of Portland Avenue at the corner of Atlantic Avenue. The property is a corner property, as I mentioned, with two front yards, one side yard, and one rear yard. And I think therein lies part of the issue with the rear yard setback. Zoning chart is on page 2, continuing on page 3, highlighting the variances, and actually I'll go through the variances as follows. Side yard setback, whereas the minimum side yard setback to the principal structure is 5 feet, 4.8 feet is proposed just for the exterior stairwell. Rear yard setback, whereas the minimum rear yard setback to the principal structure is 10 feet and 5 feet is proposed for the principal structure. I just want to make a note on this that the architect's zoning chart indicated they had two side yards and two front yards, and that's not the way the ordinances apply, so that's where the 5-foot difference is coming into play. Roof eave height of 5 feet or 2 feet, I think the reason that's in the ordinance is to keep the mass down and basically around the entire third floor exceeds that 2-foot eave height requirement. I think if they tuck the roof down in a couple spots, they might be able to soften that up a little bit, reduce the mass. Curb cut distance to the rear, to the corner, whereas the minimum distance for a curb cut to the curb line parallel with the driveway is required to be 25 feet and 24 feet is proposed. And that is a condition that is required to have two separate curb cuts. And a third floor deck, which is third floor deck is required to be located within the building envelope. And the proposed deck is not within the building envelope. However, it does meet the front yard setbacks. So there's less building below, but there's more deck above. No waivers have been requested. And my comments, again, I addressed the major comment about the rear yard setback versus the side yard setback.
And I believe I'll conclude my report at this point in time, other than the other comments, which Mr. Goldstein and I have discussed before, and we can elaborate on after his testimony.
Thank you, Mr. McLaurin. Mr. Chairman, may I proceed?
Please proceed.
Okay. I do concur with what Roger just had indicated. Would like to add a couple of things, of course, on his report, which we know is very important over here in Ventnor, that building coverage and lot coverage are less than otherwise would be allowed. This isn't the kind of house where you'd say you're maxing out on everything, although we do need some variances based upon the site constraints. Having said that, Mr. Slayton, I believe, will be able to address some of the concerns, most notably the issue with the rear and how this plays out, because we are on a corner and we do have a little bit of an issue with some distances. So without me talking about this any further, I'll turn it over to Mr. Slayton to walk through Mr. Zawacki's plan.
So,
Chair, if you wouldn't mind, walk us through the plan, discuss it as court. Of course, if you heard Mr. McLaurin, we talked earlier today, this issue of the rear and how that comes into play is fairly important to the court. Let's make sure we hit on that.
Yeah, as communities around, when you're on a corner property, there typically is not a rear yard because it's difficult to determine which of those front yards and side yards. So the rear yard is usually, it's just you have front yards and side yards. So you'd have to, I'd say some of them are actually arbitrary which one you choose is the rear yard. For this location, the existing non-conforming building on the site has a garage that's set back right on the property line on one side or within a foot. And they're doing away with the garage in the back rear corner. The current configuration has the house at 5 feet across the entire back of the building, calling the rear, which is defined on per Roger's statement there, his report. And with that, the choice was to give back as much light and air as possible by carving out as much as you could, not physically yet, you could probably stretch it a little bit more, but to make it a functional room, there is a 10-foot jog you can see that goes across the back that does give you the 10-foot by a regulation, but it still intrudes on 5 feet, so there is a trade-off that we were doing with that. And if you were to raise the building, which Mr. Wolf has every right to do and be non-conforming, it's not going to help any of the light and air in that respect.
It's fair to say that the design, although there is a bit of a quirk there, is a benefit, which we'll call a betterment to the overall plan, and it would be a negative, but we do have to address that particularity in Ventnor Board.
Correct.
And do you feel as if that particularity is being addressed by way of higher portion of the rear not extending along that same wall?
And that was intentional, yes.
Okay. So just if you could just describe that as to how that straight line is going to be better now than it is as it exists.
The current house is 3 stories and that 5 foot rear offset to the back of the house exists for the entire volume in that space. And with the plan as proposed, that additional light and air that we're providing is also 3 stories I don't want to say it's half, but I don't have the actual number.
But it would be considered a substantial benefit by not having the house at 3 stories the entire length, 5 feet from the back.
Correct.
Mr. Slayton, it might help some of the board members if you refer to some of your drawing, maybe move that drawing up a bit. So as Mr. Goldstein is talking about certain things, you can locate them on the map for our board members and even myself, anyone listening, so that we can understand this a little bit better.
Yes, goodness. So just let's, most importantly, we know what they're concerned about. Let's talk about the rear and the 5 feet that exist now and what it'll be better with the new property built as you've designed, as Mr. Zawacki and you have designed.
So currently it goes across the entire back of the existing building.
Okay, so
grab the microphone.
I'm so sorry.
So the current building as it's configured, the 5 foot is to the rear, perpendicular to Atlantic Ave, across the entire house.
So just for the record, when we talk about the rear, we're talking about the property line furthest from Portland Avenue and perpendicular to Atlantic.
Correct.
I'll make that clear as to what we're considering that.
And as is proposed on the ground floor, it's an open veranda area with a stair tower that lands in the back, and that stair tower goes up to the third, to the second floor with a bedroom on the third above that stair area. The space between the stair and the rear, and the distance between the deck, and I'm sorry, the stair and the property line is 10 feet and it complies with the current offset. However, the area on the second and third floor have a bedroom in each of those two floors. I'm sorry, a den and a bedroom. And the encroachment is in that space. And as the current building is, this is an improvement because you have this depth of, it's not written here, I'd say about 14, maybe 15 feet by 10, 150 square feet on the floor, on the ground, going up three stories that does not have this encroachment.
Could you show us a side view so we can actually, I think there's an overhang or something. You're explaining things, but we can't see them. Remember to explain the view and the plan so the members can look at it and follow along, because I'm not sure I understand what you just said.
So here's that light, the 10-foot area that's recessed on the, it's on the south side elevation, labeled on the drawing.
So just for the record, Mr. Chairman, we're talking about the house elevation, which is second from the left, labeled side elevation south. And Mr. Slayton will explain what the ramifications are of having that variance in the boardroom.
Correct. And so for the first three stories, that elevation is within the 5 feet, is 5 feet from the rear yard setback, as it's being called. And the carve out for it recesses at the stair for 10 feet with a minor encroachment on the third floor for that back.
So if I can make this a little clearer, the portion that's 5 feet from the property line is the portion that Mr. Slade was discussing right in here.
Is that the deck of this, the first floor above grade?
It's the first level above the FA and the level above that.
So it's extending past the foundation by how many feet?
No, it's in line.
It's in line.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this isn't the third floor deck.
Okay.
This is
no.
The back rear of the house.
The back rear of the house presently is across the whole property line, 5 feet from the line. What's being proposed now is this area to be 5 feet from the line, but the remainder of the rear of the house to be further in, not meeting that barrier.
How much further in?
10 feet.
How much further?
10 feet.
10 feet total.
Yes. 10 feet total?
10 feet total, yes.
So it meets the setback?
At that portion, yes.
The principal wall, you're saying, meets the setback?
Can I just try this?
Please. This is really maddening.
Sorry.
So looking at the house from Atlantic Avenue,
yes.
The first third of it is going to be 5 feet from the rear property line, that right-hand property line that's opposite Portland. Okay, we got that?
Right.
Then it's going to go back. I don't know, the third of the property is going to jog back in and comply. And that's going to be three stories tall.
Correct.
Correct? Okay.
There is a slight nuance with the overhang at the third.
I'm worried about the mass of the structure, not necessarily an eave overhang. We'll get to the eave. But so that rear property line is going to have a 5 foot setback for how long is that?
I wish I had that answer.
It's two thirds of the property, it looks like. Two thirds of the building, I should say.
Yeah.
And then the last 20 feet is going to be set back to meet the requirements.
Yeah,
is that correct?
About 15-ish feet, yes.
That's not what it's showing on the plan.
It's like 17. It's a 12-foot bedroom and then a 5-foot tub.
Right. Yeah. I'm looking at the dimensions on the plan. It says 5 and 5, so that's 10 to me.
No, that's correct. 10 is the offset. I was describing the length of the 10-foot offset.
Gotcha. Understand. So that's that rear property line. It jogs back in. All right. Sorry. I was confused as the chair was, so.
Yeah, thank you very much for chiming in. Hey.
What was going on?
That's why we're aboard.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, please continue.
Okay, I'm going to say. We do have, if it helps this plan, a fairly accurate, we believe, rendering from Mr. Zawacki, which I'm going to.
We don't have that on the board?
We don't.
No.
That would have been really nice to see. This is the only thing we got with these little tiny plants, so that's extremely hard to see.
Some people got big ones.
Bigger ones.
Yeah.
Now I understand the trying to understand it.
That might be a bit of a help. I sent that to Mr. McLaren, Mr. Manos, and you, Mayor Langgraf, but continue to discuss with. Talk about the remainder of the variances.
Oftentimes, a section of a section going through gives a good explanation also. So you can see what's in, what's out, what lines up, and so on. You can dodge your lines, you give everything.
So to follow up on Mayor Langgraf says, as far as the portion of the house that's at 5 feet,
right,
it's fairly insignificant based upon the remainder of the length of the rear. It's not the entire length, and we generally would call it a bump out, but it's a little bit more than just a bump out. It's 5 feet further back than the remainder, which is actually 10 feet from the property line. Does that make sense?
But it sort of looks like it's 20 feet of the first floor is 5 feet from the property line, and about 12 feet is 10 feet from the property line. Because each floor plan looks a little different. Like there's a bump out here, because on the second floor plan, there's a 12 by 13 room that fit the 10 feet. On the third floor plan, it looks like there's 14 feet.
Yeah, the third floor does have a little bit more into that extra 10 foot that were recessed. But the majority of it, just to correct with what Mr. Langgraf was saying, was the majority of it is within the 5 feet offset, whereas the balance, I'd say a third, isn't. So that balance of a third is 10 feet.
All right. Have we visited this particular one? We move on.
Very well.
Thank you. Got it.
Thank you. Joe, can you walk us through the remainder of the variances? The principal E-pipe, can you describe that, please?
So there's. There's two 14 foot, we're calling them dormers. And I believe at 40%, the number would be 5 feet that you're permitted. So we could work to make that just to squeeze it down if it's that far out of a compliance that you want to see that happen. But currently they're that close within the number that I'd consider it de minimis at this point, considering how much an improvement, which we haven't spoken about with regards to moving the whole house into conformance with the front yard setbacks and what that does to the overall, bringing it into compliance. The
14 feet.
The net yield on his building coverage going from 50% per the regs, yes, with that, if we were to do it without the 5 feet, would be another 14% off of that. So he has 36% building coverage at the end.
Yes.
So these dormers make the livable space that much more an offset.
Just a comment, I'm passing around my phone that has the rendering of the building on it, just so everybody can see it, so.
For the record.
Just whatnot, give somebody an idea. We've used phones before in Brigantine, pass pictures around.
Right, okay. So you're saying the dormer is, how close is the dormer? How much are you asking for as the...
I think it's like two and a half feet of relief on the 14 feet of each front.
For a combination of both or per?
I believe both, to be in conformance or...
It's for each one, so it's 2.5 feet for each one.
Something to that nature, yes.
And that helps meet, that helps work with another part of the building?
Yeah, that's how far it is from the current regs as a dormer.
Do we have to grant a variance for that? This is on the record.
Just grant the variance with the eve height.
Yeah.
That would cover that.
Okay, we'll grant the, you know, so you'll keep that in the variance with the eve height, and that should cover that part.
That's correct.
Okay.
Just to be clear again, it's not a cumulative total of 2.5 feet.
Right.
It's 2.5 feet per dormer.
Yes.
Of 14 feet per dormer.
Yes.
So maybe a better way to say it is 5 feet off of 28 feet total.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you.
Mr. Slayton, we also are seeking a variance for curb cut distance of the corner, 25 feet is required. We're proposing 24 feet. Explain, please, to the board why the 24 feet is a betterment to what is allowed by law.
Having a 9-foot curb cut, a 9-foot door, having those two in alignment is preferred for several reasons. We can adjust it the 1 foot if it's that much of a safety concern or just to be in compliance, but for the 1 foot, it seems like it's de minimis to just keep the curb cuts aligned with the garage, and the garage is, you know, like I said, 9 foot, 4-door.
Are there any safety concerns such as the site triangle or other vehicles parking, and what does it do to any off-street parking?
I can't see it. You will have 24 feet to the curb, which would give you an 18-foot parking space with the radius.
Which also need a three-foot buffer between the opening and the parking place. So you have 21 feet then if to start, and then there's stuff at the then there's what how many buffers at the corner do we need, Roger? So then we have more space off the corner because you can't park into the right of way in the corner.
Sure. And we like I said, we could move it 1 foot if it's.
So can you make an 18-foot parking place in the street?
With that 24-foot distance per curb, is an 18-foot parking space something that we could achieve?
I believe so.
Yes or no?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
On-street's actually 20 feet.
Pardon?
On-street's 20 feet.
On-street is 20 feet, so we need 20 feet for an on-street parking place.
And the other concern was that driveway, the first driveway closest to Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah.
Can't have parking there.
Right. Can't have parking, okay.
That's got to be in the record and everything. This car's been hanging over the sidewalk and
yeah, well,
to the corner.
I have a thought about that. When we talk about the third floor deck in alignment with the garage, so to have the 18-foot driveway space, we can make that 18 feet also on the other side and make that a storage instead of a garage if that is the direction. We held back on doing that only because I would have two 18 feet spaces and two third floor deck variance requirements because the building principal elevation is forward to where the garage is or to where the deck would be. So if we right now currently we have an 18 foot space in front of the garage.
Could you talk with
sure.
the picture, please?
The garage on the left.
Yes.
The garage to the left.
Could you bring that up closer to the board so the board can say it, please? You got to use your laser finger a little bit to point things out for us, please.
So right now there's two garages. The third parking space is in front of the garage furthest from Atlantic Avenue. What I was saying, right now we have a variance request for the third floor deck above the the garage that is furthest from Atlantic Avenue. We can fix that third floor variance and put it on the corner, but as the design of the third floor, right now we show a roof adaptation, and that will comply. So from a massing and addressing the corner condition, having a roof builds up the massing.
Let's start the ground level first, if we could. On the ground level,
yes, sir.
How big of a space do you have from the city right away, from your property line to your garage door?
18 feet on the garage, furthest from Atlantic Avenue.
How about the one closest to Atlantic Avenue?
It is under 18 feet.
How much under?
I believe it is...
Looks like it's about 12 feet.
12, 14 feet.
Now, can you make that an 18-footer?
It would...
If you indent the garage door and move the garage door back into the building,
yes,
you make that an 18-foot space.
Yes, we
so
can
you have two spaces.
You would lose that garage space, though.
We'd lose that garage space, and we would make that a storage.
It's going to be storage.
Storage.
Right. That's it anyway. That
right.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Right.
You only need two spaces.
Right. But look, if we can get more off street, but so my concern is, and Commissioner Creed will bear this out because he gets the complaints just like I do, when people have short driveways.
They use them.
They block the
right.
sidewalk.
Right.
This is a beach block. A lot of people coming across there to go to the beach.
So I think the plan that would be, what would the board prefer? It's really your calling.
Right.
We have enough parking. We would like that to be something. Is it better to be off street? And I know this happens all the time when you're walking on the beach block or anywhere else, but the sidewalk and park has the front end of it sticking out.
Right.
People have to walk around and then of course they do complain. But we can eliminate that easily. The problem is that we're turning that one area into storage as opposed to park. We still comply. It's not the number of spots, but it's just the configuration. So what
the five-bedroom home does require three parking spaces here. So they do require three.
On a four-bedroom?
It's a five-bedroom house.
Five-bedroom house. Now, the question becomes...
So I was just reading Roger's report.
Right, right. The issue, I think, that Mayor Landgraf is talking about, and we're all talking about it. If you offer a parking place smaller than 18 feet, it gets used and abused. We don't want that.
No, I think you're right, Chairman. It will be a problem if we wind up with this, pulling a parker for a little bit, so when we're center, they're going to
right.
use their smallest car, but eventually
no.
there's an escalating extended lane that's into the right bank.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you don't want either. That would be the end of the process, right. In addition to the city. So, in that regard, I think we're okay. We've got this response, but what we do with that extra space,
we want three clear spots.
Okay, so we've got three clear spots. It's a matter of
on his chart, he required three spaces.
Not
but there's
counting three bedrooms.
I'm counting four bedrooms.
Four bedrooms.
There's three on one floor.
How many bedrooms is this building?
It's two dens. And there's two dens.
Not how many two. Bedrooms?
I believe four.
Four.
It's a lot of dens.
There's three.
That's a lot of
dens. There's three on the second.
And the third floor is a master.
The third floor is a master.
Okay. And that way you've got
very meaningful spot.
It's four bedrooms.
So he only needs
they need two spaces.
Right.
And right now we currently have three, one on street, one in the driveway, and then one in each garage.
That's fantastic.
And
but one short, right?
Yeah. No.
That, the short space, Mr. Smith, would be if we did something in addition to that, which would extend the butt end of the car out.
Right.
So,
or a golf cart in front of, you know.
For the legal parking space, no, we only have
two. Okay.
Right. We've got a room, what we do with that is really a board, as the people said, but we don't have more than three spots. It won't be less than three, it won't be more than three.
So you're going to, what we're doing here today, right now, is you're going to comply and provide three legal parking places,
correct.
None of which will encroach on the city right away.
That's correct.
Well, here's the Thank problem you. With that. If they move that second garage door back to fit a parking space
right.
in the driveway, it's going to create a second variance for the third floor deck.
No.
It's going to create some other variance.
No, it won't create a variance. But where I was going is we could fix the variance with the garage on the furthest from Atlantic Ave
by just simply making the upstairs third-floor deck go towards the corner, towards Atlantic Ave. But from an aesthetic perspective...
Well, let's do this first, then go to the deck next.
Sure.
We'll get that solved. We can do it that way.
Okay.
We'll do one piece of...
Pushing a garage door back won't create another variance.
No, it won't.
You need a variance for that third-floor deck, which is where you want it anyway, so you see the beach.
Right.
Correct. But what I was saying is if the third-floor deck wasn't permitted or approved, I was going to suggest that we make the deck on the corner, on the third floor, just to keep it on that side corner instead of going across Atlantic in that respect. And pushing the garage door back would make it a variance then.
Okay, why don't we visit, we're clear, is everybody clear on the parking places?
Yeah, I think the bigger deal is making that driveway space closer to Atlantic Avenue 18 to 20 feet.
That's not a problem.
That's going to be the biggest issue from...
And we'll make it short, yep, and we'll make it short.
You can make them 20 feet, they always work better than 18, because Escalades do fill them up. And that's just the way it is. So we have our requirements, but we can always tiptoe and ask you for a little bit more.
I think we're getting a little bit too deep into the weeds.
No.
If this, then that, like it's a menu at a restaurant, one from column A, one from column B. Maybe the clear way to do it, as the mayor said earlier, is for each individual variance we're seeking, rather than look to an alternative as to what would happen if the board didn't grant it, just look at the relief we're seeking, and then of course, Mr. McCarter and other board members for comments, well, listen, that Joe, I think you're getting way too deep.
No, yeah, okay.
What
I was just...
Focus on the plan, not what you would do if the board doesn't grant it. Because we're here to get approvals, not alternatives to approval. Because if there were alternatives, the board would say, just do that, and they'll come in for the variance. So, we're trying to keep it straight.
Okay.
So, let's just recap briefly.
Go ahead.
Come on. We've addressed the issue, hopefully, of the principal building on the left, 4.8 versus 5. I think Mr. Slayton, the testimony on it, is fairly de minimis change. I would agree that the difference of 0.2 feet is something the board can grant without any sort of detriment to the zone of the city of Bedlam, the municipal land use.
And which is that the side yard or where?
Left side, left side principal building.
Okay.
4.8 instead of 5.
Okay.
The testimony that in and of itself is fairly small.
Okay.
Next, we did talk with a fair amount of confusion and passing around the phones about the rear yard change from what's there now, 5 feet across the whole back line, to what we're proposing, which is a bump out, which represents approximately a third of the width of the house, which will be 5 feet from the rear property line. Everything else will comply at 10 feet. But then there's a little bit of a substantial variance, which we believe Mr. Slayton justified by way of the architectural improvement and the improvement of not having a whole house run along the rear at 5 feet from the line, where 10 is much more beneficial now than it was before. With regard to the principal E-pipe, we've determined that 2.5 feet off of 14 feet on each E, which as Joe testified to, is a fairly minimal deviation. And again, as Roger testified, put in his preamble, this can be done without much of a change to the massing of the house. And we believe that that representative picture, which is all the way on the Portland side, which you can see it best, is a betterment to what's there now and also provides more light area to the streets.
Yeah, this
you still nailed. Have to address, I don't think it's very clear on the record,
he's nailing
the issue of 24 feet versus 25 feet of the curb cut to the corner. We've kind of moved on from that, but I want to make sure we have some candid testimony that addresses that issue. So Chairman Mr. McLaren were concerned that you couldn't fit 20-foot spot. He said, Joe, don't answer if I believe. Can you put a legal spot there if it's 24 versus 25?
I'd have to look at the radius on the curb, and I don't think
you
the circle.
See that wall tall. Yep. Next, we're talking about the distance for and the shape of the third floor deck. We do have some options in that regard, with parking being potentially adjusted, or we can make the third floor deck comply. But this is where the flexible C variance really comes into play. By making the parking comply, it's worse. The third floor deck. We want to try to make those two best fit into the character of the neighborhood. So we are asking for the third floor deck variance because it's outside the envelope. But by doing that, we have a better parking layout. So that leads to a better parking layout versus the worst. Would you agree with that, Joe?
Yes.
Thank you. So we're down to the remaining variance, which we still have to address. It shows looking. Prior to getting an answer to that question, does the board have any questions about what we discussed? We started off a little bit on a jagged edge, which we're trying to fix. So the record's clear at that point. If the board votes in favor of the matter, it prepares appropriate resolution.
We'll give an A for that little recital you just did.
Chairman, can I ask Roger a question?
Please.
So the distance to the curb cut is from the radius coming off Atlantic Avenue.
It's actually the curb on Atlantic Avenue.
So it's the face of the curb on Atlantic Avenue, not the point of tangency.
Correct. So there's no room for a space, even if you move it up.
You can't park there anyway.
Right. The idea behind that is if that was in front of a stop sign, which you're not.
Right. It's on the other side of the street.
So the 24 feet versus 25 really won't make a difference.
Yeah, that's
not on that side
exactly.
Of the street.
You can't park there anyway.
Right. Right.
Still
it's a moot. It's a moot point. Right.
So we would still think it's a fairly de minimis change because it's 21 foot off of 25 feet. It doesn't make much of a difference because if it were 25 feet, it doesn't give us the ability to put the full-size car there anyway.
Right.
But it's still something we want to address because we don't want someone later to say that we did something not addressed or approved on the board. So it's in front of you, arriving the board is very thorough, of course. So that's where we're left. Jeff. Having heard that summary of a licensed professional architect in the state of New Jersey, do you concur that betterment of this project greatly outweighs any detriment, if there could be a detriment, associated with this construction?
Yes.
And to the extent that there is any detriment at all, would that detriment be, as you put, de minimis or minor in nature?
Yes.
So we would rest subject to being able to call Mr. Slayton or Mr. Wolf.
We haven't talked about the third floor deck yet. We haven't talked about the third floor deck.
Need some testimony for the third floor deck?
Well, go ahead and address, I think you kind of summarized it. Why don't you go through the issue of how the third floor deck is, again, a better based upon where we want to place it versus upon where it could go and the parking issues that exist below the third floor deck.
Could you first?
In my opinion is the only reason you need a variance for that third floor deck is because at a second floor you have a chamfered wall, correct? Otherwise you...
Well, I'd be sure you have a second floor chamfered wall.
Well, you push that deck on the second floor back, you create more space.
The third floor deck, the principal wall is because of the parking space. Yeah. If the parking space was flush with the prominent entry door,
okay,
we wouldn't have this variance, as I understand.
In order to fit that space in front of the garage, they need to push that garage door back.
Or
therefore,
the flat spot.
Right. Therefore, the deck is now not over top of the foundation of the building.
Deck's over the foundation of the building, but good, because of the parking issue, you have to bring the deck out further, which creates a variance. The alternative would be to flip-flop to the other side, but then it's on the wrong corner.
Remember the applicant last month, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
We asked him to push that door back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's doing this.
Right.
It's kind of odd for us to say, don't do that here.
Could you start out with the dimensions of the deck? Describe what the deck is, the dimensions for the plan.
How big? Why?
Big, why?
Yeah.
And where? And point out where it is on the plan.
Sure.
So we all know what the bounds are we're talking about.
So the deck along Portland Avenue extends past the entrance face 7'4". It passes the same plane, or the front of the deck, is in alignment with that same 7'4" offset. However, the garage, I'm sorry, that's tough to read, it's 5, I don't have the full set here. Let me get back to the set.
I'm blowing up.
I thought we were
going to.
So by 12 by 11, is that right?
That the front of it matches the front of the building, the side yard matches the side of the building. The second floor deck does project out another 5 feet.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get, is I think
5 or so feet.
Five or so feet.
The third floor is in line with the face of the house,
right,
on both the side and the front.
and it's the only reason they need the variance is because they're parking underneath it. We've got to make this a little simpler here, guys.
Yeah, right.
It's not rocket science.
I just don't have the numbers in front of me.
I understand.
I don't think the severity of that variance for that third floor deck is as great as you show it. I think it's less. It's not much.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So that would be it. And there is no roof over that deck, correct? On the third floor, is there a roof over the deck?
They have a covered porch.
A covered porch, or is it not?
It says outdoor deck. There's a covered porch in the very front, but not up on the third floor.
Correct, not on the third.
So the third floor has no roof over it?
No, it is on the third.
In the middle.
It's partial at the...
Is the roof on the third floor?
I believe at the...
It's right.
At the centerpiece where it's in conformance.
That's it. So...
Thank you.
That's in the building envelope, that part.
That's in the building envelope, but the... Does the roof extend over top, past the envelope and over the deck?
Yeah, the roof only extends over the deck, Mr. Chairman, not past the outside edge of the front deck.
Okay.
And it's only for that third middle portion.
All right.
That there's a roof at all. The remainder on the left and right side are open. The roof portion of it just goes out at the front of the half.
And the right side is actually a roof.
Right. And this deck's about 12 feet wide.
It's about 12.
Okay. And the building is, and the relationship to the building is, what's the building width? Is what, 44 feet?
I think it looks like it's 42 feet.
42, so it's 12 feet of a, and it takes up 12 feet of the front, a width of the building, of a 44-foot wide building. So that's the third floor deck. Thank you.
That's the third floor deck we're asking relief from. There's still a third floor deck that's in front of the
right
entrance.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. Board members, any questions? Are you complete?
I do have a question.
Yes.
Two things that our engineer commented was governor strip.
Yes.
And trees. Is that something that will be added?
Yes. They are not important. They are. Hopefully, you know, beach block trees are tough to maintain, but occasionally they will be without maintaining those trees.
And
I was actually going to say one thing about the governor strip, and that is it's only two houses on that lot, that part of the street, and the other one also doesn't have the sidewalk, doesn't have a governor strip. We can put it in.
We'll catch those.
That's fair. I'm just saying for aesthetics.
Yes.
Well, we're going to make the aesthetics better.
Right.
Governor strip.
And if you could put an irrigation system in with that, so that it keeps the governorship and keeps everybody real happy, including the owner.
Well,
we like to make the community happy too. So
we're okay with
this. Okay.
It's a very reasonable recommendation. Not as much as we can. Okay. We know the whole thing in town, especially with this soil's tough, but Jason will figure it out.
Are you complete with your presentation? I'd like to open it to the public. Unless we have more comments from the board first.
We're past the variances. The Ventnor City Code has a limitation for fire pit locations. I'll leave that to Roger to say, but this fire pit looks at 2'6" away from property line and closer than 15 feet to a property line. And the code calls for 15 feet as a minimum, 5 feet from any combustible surface.
I couldn't hear.
I was looking at that too.
Jimmy won't give him a permit for it.
He won't get a permit. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think he's going to get a variance with that. If you have a fire permit, I don't think he can get relief. But we'll make either he'll either comply or won't be there.
I didn't hear what you said.
The way the ordinance is written, it implies that it's going to be fire burning or wood burning.
Gas burning would be different, correct?
Gas burning would meet, as long as it meets UCC and fire code. Right.
With a permit.
Okay.
Yeah. Gas.
So Mr. Wilson's going to be gas, but of course, on that construction issue, Mr. Agostino is going to look at the plans, and whatever he doesn't approve, Mr. Wolf would have to move it to an area where...
It has to meet code. That's where...
That's it.
That's it. So, thank you, Commissioner.
Yep.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to open it. Any more questions or comments from the board? I'd like to open to the public at this time. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak on this application? Hearing none or seeing none, the public portion is now closed. Do you have any final comments?
Thank you. You know, we started out a little bit interesting, and we finally had a chance to explain everything along with the board members' help, passing around the questions from over and over again, trying to do here. And then most importantly, Mr. McLaren and Carmel, we had this application in officially, but it was such a round of things, so we're here, and I think we have the case on justifying the positive criteria overriding the negative. We would address subject to a vote.
You and your client agree with Mr. McLaren's report?
Mr. Wolf, you just sworn in. You agree with Mr. McLaren put into the report that we were relying upon?
Yes.
All
right. Okay. Then that's complete. This time, I'd like to move if our solicitor can form a motion in the affirmative, is all we're done for a vote.
Do we agree that we're going to do the 18-foot driveway closest to?
The motion I would like to put forward is that it would be a minimum 18.
Minimum 18, yes, which means that garage becomes storage.
Five.
Okay, and so with that, and then governor strip on both streets?
Yes, and trees on Atlantic only.
Trees on Atlantic. Two trees on Atlantic?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so those would be a couple conditions.
We recommend the irrigation.
Okay.
And they consent it to it.
Two trees. Okay, so we'll need a motion and a second for the following C variances. There's a side yard setback of 4.8 feet where 5 is required. There's the rear yard setback that we discussed of 5 feet where 10 feet is required. The roof eave height, permitted roof eave height's 2 feet from the third floor, and they're greater than that. And there's the curb cut distance from the corner, 25 feet is required, they're 24 feet. And then the third floor deck is outside the building envelope, but it does meet the setback. And the conditions, I noted again, governor strip on both streets, but only two street trees on Atlantic, none on the beach block. And then the condition that there'll be a minimum of 18 feet in the second driveway to what's now, I'll say to the face of the garage, but that's now going to become not a garage, a storage area. And then any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report and any representations made during the course of the
hearing. Left side variance of 4.8 feet.
Said that.
You got that already?
Yep, we got them all.
And, you got them all. Okay.
I'll make the motion.
And the fire pit complies with
code. Fire pit will comply with code.
Right. I have a motion for adoption. Have a second, please.
I'll second.
We have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Mayor Landgraf.
I appreciate the pushing that garage door back and creating that space as a full space. That is a problem we get complaints on more often than you would realize. And I think that creates a better usable space. The third floor deck, to me, I think that's a good opportunity there to get some outdoor space. It meets the setbacks. It's just a nuance in our ordinance that deals with it being not over the foundation of the building. The rear yard was a little concerning, but I think because it jogs back for at least a third of the building, I think that'll offset some of that and create that open space in that back corner where I think it's needed, honestly. It creates that open space you're going to enjoy with hopefully a fire pit back there and get some space. So I vote yes on the application.
Commissioner Kriebel.
I appreciate the improvement, actually, of the setback.
Right. That's good. That's probably helpful.
Across from Portland Avenue. I think it's got a great curb appeal. I think the massing of the home is very creative, and the variances are de minimis in my opinion. I vote yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes. This is definitely not a small structure, and it is actually, we saw the rendering, it's quite handsome. It's quite a good, nice piece of architecture. The various problems are being solved in here. Obviously, we're taking an old building, we're moving it, and replacing it with a new building, which is up to date rather than having an obsolete structure continue. In that rear yard, we're removing the garage, which is on a zero lot line, and the mayor referred to that was the optimal corner. Well, that structure there opens that up, doesn't block as much air, so we're getting rid of that. And that kind of helps with that variance situation there. The compliance, creating two parking places in the front, in the driveways, with the 18-foot requirements, leaves no problem, should be no problem. with anybody intruding into the right-of-ways. So that is a major problem within the city. Some of the design criteria or the look, the improvements to the streetscape occur with the governor strip and the owner's consent with irrigation to help him and the community out. With that, the dormers that are there with that small part, I think, help the mass of the building, and that variance is then, again, works within itself. The other variances that are there are basically de minimis. The third floor deck, with its size and relationship, is in scale with the building, and I think it does, as been stated, add life to the building, life to the community, and our living style here in Ventnor. So with that, I'm going to say yes, and I approve.
Roman Zavi Hutch.
I also vote yes. The variances do not have a negative impact on the ordinance or, I think, the master plan. If anything, it improves and does what the master plan wishes. I am glad we are able to discuss certain changes. Thank you for the adjustments. Very positive. And good luck with that new structure.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I don't think it has, as Roman said, any negative impact on the master plan, and it's going to be a very attractive home, and the parking, I think, is critical these days, because if you were around on the weekend, every street you went down, there was somebody parked over the curb, and difficult for people to get back and forth, and we have to focus on that in the future. But coming out with what we have now, I think, is much better than when we started. So I'm in favor of it. I think there's a great, I appreciate your working with the board and working out as much as we could within the mess. So I'm in favor.
Mike Wiesen.
I agree with all the comments from the other board members and the willingness of Mr. Wolf to go along with all the comments. But I have to commend Mr. Goldstein for, it was like a baseball game that you were down four runs in the first inning, and the guy came in as a reliever or a finisher, and he got the save. That was fantastic.
Yeah. All the work as a team.
Yeah.
Coaching's everything sometimes.
Clarification made everybody understand it, because
right.
I think you saw the look that we were getting. And
rendering would have helped.
You know, sometimes
pictures
there's supposed to be one.
You had that rendering.
Yeah. Well, we got it.
But it worked out.
Peter Taco.
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I believe that the benefits far outweigh any negative that the experiences would create.
Tim Coop.
So I think it's a very handsome house. I will say I struggled with the rear yard setback, because I thought that was still a fairly substantial variance to have with what is going to be starting out as a blank lot. But you have three parking spots, and I think other concessions were made, so I can give reason for them. All those in favor as well.
Jessica Stilley.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. That rear yard setback, I guess that was really the only downside, especially being, I guess, such a large mass of a house to begin with. But overall, I think it's really aesthetically pleasing. I really like the roof lines, what you've done with the dormers there. That third floor deck, I don't really see any issue there. I think it's a great use of that outdoor space, and I see what you're going at with getting that extra parking there. And I really appreciate you moving, on the garage closest to Atlantic and pushing that back, so we don't have cars parked hanging out, basically, at the garage, so into the right of way. So.
Motion carries. You're there. Again, A plus on that little listing of yours in there. And Mr. Wolf, could you please stand? This is going to be your own personal home?
Yes.
Well, I salute you, sir, and thank you. I know, but it's nice to have a home and be here. You don't have a home in Avalon Avenue, and I know. But you know what? It's nice to have you here.